I did not enjoy making this video at all, and if you have any humanity, you're probably not going to enjoy watching this. But as my mother always used to tell me, sometimes there are things in life you have to do, whether you like it or not. For me, this was one of them. Nearly all of the investigative work in this video was not done by me, and my aim here is to simply distill a lot of information down to a manageable size. My purpose is to simply bring the most unbiased approach I possibly can to this highly controversial subject, with the full admittance to the viewer that through my own investigations, I've already come to many very strong opinions. I tell this to everyone who enters into this investigation. Proceed with caution and hold your heart. Everything I'm going to share in this video is not a direct condemnation or assignment of guilt against anyone, because I'm a firm believer in innocent until proven guilty. Any accusation made here is made allegedly. I believe in fairness under the law, and so accordingly, all mentioned in this video are presumed innocent. Feel free to mirror this video and please share this with as many people as you can. Oh, and one last thing. If this video has been monetized, it was not done so by me. I refuse to make any money off this whatsoever. And with all of that said, God bless. This is James Alefantis. Alefantis' establishment, Comet Ping Pong, gained worldwide attention when allegations that a pedophile ring was being operated, in part, out of this establishment. This investigation is now known as Pizzagate and is one of the first ever worldwide citizen investigations. James Alefantis is an entrepreneur, an avid art collector, and owns a few shops and restaurants in the Washington, D.C. area. Not only is he the proprietor of Comet Pizzeria and Ping Pong, Buck's Fishing and Camping, as well as several other establishments, but according to GQ magazine, James is the 49th most influential person in Washington, D.C. Comet Pizza has hosted many Democratic fundraisers and events, with one of those Democrats being Hillary Clinton herself. The Federal Election Commission reports that money was donated to James Alefantis and Comet Ping Pong by Hillary Clinton, amongst many others, and to top it off, even geopolitical major player George Soros, through his Soros American Bridge Pack, sent Alefantis nearly $22,000 at one point. Alefantis' ex-boyfriend is David Brock, an American political agent, author, and commentator who founded the liberal media watchdog group Media Matters for America. In late 2013, Brock founded Correct the Record, which was described by the New York Times as Hillary Clinton's own personal media watchdog. In short, both Brock and Alefantis were heavily involved in the Hillary Clinton campaign and have been major players working in the background of the Democratic Party for a very long time. Mr. Alefantis has, on record, visited the White House at least 5 times, and so wouldn't be controversial to say that James is connected to some of the most important and influential people in Washington. In fact, here is a letter from Hillary Clinton thanking James for the dinner, cooking with the Fratelli Podesta, and here is another Instagram picture where James is photographing President Barack Obama at the White House, playing a little ping pong with a young child. James Alefantis is known as Jimmy Comet on Instagram, and online researchers discovered an incredible number of very strange photos, many with very young children, including very disturbing references, found on his account. James's account has since been switched to private, but his posts were collected prior to him doing so. Many of the comments and hashtags made on the images of his Instagram account, and many other accounts linked to Mr. Alefantis and Comet Pizza, included code words well known and established by the Federal Bureau of Investigation to be codes used by those engaged in acts of pedophilia. For instance, cheese equals little girl, pizza equals girl, hot dog equals boy. You get the point. We're going to go over several of the pictures in question, as it is necessary to give context to the accusations made in this case. Out of respect, decency, and to protect the innocent, the children's eyes have been covered. So the first one we have here is an unnamed baby being fed pizza. The comments say hashtag first pizza and another that says new Comet ad, as in a new ad for Comet Pizzeria. Here's another one, a picture of a German baby doll for sale, and the comments say way overpriced. Now, nothing too damning here. Maybe James is a doll collector. Let's move on. Here we find another unnamed baby with the most alarming hashtag of hotard, which is a slang for a hoe or whore and a retard, or someone that is mentally handicapped. Very strange to write such a thing on a picture of a baby. Here we have another unnamed baby drinking some milk, and notice the hashtag Karis James. We're going to be seeing a lot more of that as we move on. Here we have another hashtag of Karis James in reference to an entirely different child, and apparently Karis James loves to spend euros. It's just very odd seeing a child posing with money like this. Here's another unnamed baby in a shopping cart with the hashtag Karis James yet again, and I must mention, the eyes of this girl in the picture are saggy and she looks really tired. Not sure who this child is and why she is in this basket and why she is being displayed on James's Instagram account. And yet another unnamed or unidentified girl with the hashtag I love chocolate cake. This next image shows a young girl in a beauty pageant, and she is highlighted saying, I just want my pizza, which when knowing the FBI codes means young girl, which is pretty disturbing. Now, one or two pictures of a few girls on an Instagram account isn't really a big deal, but when you get so many like this, it really starts to raise questions. Here again we have two unidentified children, supposedly born 1 year ago today, as it says, with the hashtag Karis James yet again. Who are these children? Why are the parents not tagged? Why are the names of the children not given? These are all pretty pertinent questions. One of the most disturbing images is the one where this young girl here is taped down to the table while the commenter says, new seating area for your guests, hilaire or hilarious. And Kate Damon there tags Karis James yet again. Here's Jimmy Comet showing off a pile of pills and bills, and notice in the comments here it says ping pong in London. This next post shows James in an article expressing his love for playing ping pong in Germany, as well as in London, at a place called Dr. Pong's, something we'll revisit later. Here's Jimmy Comet displaying three masked children, which was also linked to another very creepy account called Mr. Solier. Not sure who these children are, how old these children are, what this is a reference to, if this is an art piece. Do the children know this is an art piece? One of the most controversial images is the one where a man here is holding a very young child with what has been identified as a sex bracelet around the man and child's necks. Jimmy Comet here tags chicken lovers, with a chicken lover defined as a homosexual man who is attracted to underage boys. Yet another hashtag Karis James, and the most strange and downright disturbing comments such as, what in the butt? In this next image here, we have a large refrigerated room, and the comments here are just flat out creepy. Just rinse it off when you're done, says one. Just a pile of money under a sheet, says another. Hashtag murder and hashtag kill room are all very alarming. What are these people referring to? Where is this room? Do these people visit it? And if so, what do they do there? The commenter working on my night cheese has a most interesting name for an Instagram account when taking into consideration what cheese means, according to the FBI. Working on my night cheese also has a kill room at his artist studio, the Pajama Factory, and also has friends who are apparently familiar with the hashtag kill room. Here, working on my night cheese is welding together a cough-e-in table, or a coffin table, with that coffin just about fit for the size of a small child. And this image of the back of a van by Mr. Night Cheese is pretty interesting. You can see it seems to be reinforced in the back there, like there's a door or a metal cage or something. And the comment is illuminating. It's like concrete, but plywood, but concrete. What is going on here? What is this van used for? What does working on a Night Cheese do for a living? Here is working on a Night Cheese commenting on another Jimmy Comet post, asking if James is burying a body. Some of the other images from James's account are very risque. Here we have Comet Pizza being jokingly renamed as the Long Dong Pizza Shop. Someone tagging Comet Ping Pong here with two people giving oral pleasure on a giant slice of pizza. And here is another. And another. And another. In this post, we see the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it says Democratic Party, Republican Party, and the box checked is Pizza Party. This post is quite disturbing in that the comments we find someone saying, "Whip me up a Haitian special, extra cheese," which once again, according to the FBI code words, would mean a young Haitian girl. So obviously there's something going on here that is a lot more lewd, lascivious, and downright perverse than what any reasonable person would believe should be going on at a children's pizzeria. We'll just leave it at that. Before we move on, I just want to mention three things, all of which are just creepy and in general downright bizarre. First, the name James Elefantis can basically be translated in French to mean "I like children." I offer no other commentary on this other than to point out that fact. Second, and please note that this is pure speculation, but interesting nonetheless, researchers had mentioned that since the hashtag #CarisJames did not seem to be addressing any specific person, Caris might possibly be a reference to the drug carisoprodol, which is a muscle relaxer that might be used on alleged victims. And lastly, and this is something that is not speculative at all, the profile picture of James Elefantis, or Jimmy Comet, is the Greek god Antinous, who apparently was deified as a living god, and it just so happens that Antinous was sexually attracted to young boys. We'll get back to Jimmy Comet's Instagram in just a bit. This is John Podesta. John Podesta was the chairman of the 2016 Hillary Clinton presidential campaign and has previously served as chief of staff to President Bill Clinton and counselor to President Barack Obama. John has had close ties to Washington for a very long time. John has been in the inner circle of some very, very powerful people within the upper echelons of the Democratic Party for a very, very long time. WikiLeaks has released thousands of John Podesta's emails, and after many researchers rifled through them, it was found that there were an enormous amount of strangely worded references to pizza and hot dogs. Needless to say, it is very clear to see that John and many of the people whom he was communicating with are speaking in code. And not only are they speaking in code, but it is the same code that has been well established by the FBI. A few emails worthy of mentioning are here. Here we have an email discussing that the White House is flying in $65,000 worth of hot dogs and pizza. And yes, you could argue that the White House spends a good deal on high-profile events, and thus it is silly to assume that this email has anything to do with child trafficking, but really, 65 grand to fly in hot dogs and pizza? Who flies in hot dogs and pizza? Does this hot dog and pizza catering service have a name? And 65 grand? At the very least, these people are wasting an insane amount of taxpayer money. Oh, and one last thing. It is protocol that all the food served at the White House is prepared at the White House due to worries of contamination and poisoning and the like. So all the food at the White House is made at the White House. So what does this email mean?
This next one is addressed to John Podesta and discusses dreaming of a hot dog stand in Hawaii. Are hot dogs really that good in Hawaii? I've been there and I was never once told about the legendary Hawaiian kosher footlong. What is the name of this hot dog stand? Does this person and John Podesta vacation together? Very odd and very disconcerting knowing what the code word hot dog means. I believe this one comes from Hillary Clinton's emails herself, and it says, "With fingers crossed, the old rabbit's foot out of the attic, I will be sacrificing a chicken in the backyard to Moloch." Enough said. Here's one from James Elefantis to John Podesta, including the Hillary logo with a pizza incorporated into it. Now remember, this is the owner of a local pizza joint emailing the campaign chairman for a presidential candidate about a logo and saying, "Do not forward it." What kind of relationship do John and James have? How close is James to Hillary? These seem like pretty important questions. Here's one. "I'm coming to town and I'm bringing walnuts." And another email here speaks of walnut sauce. Who writes emails to each other concerning walnuts? I guess maybe people that work at the Diamond Nuts Corporation or Planters Peanuts might, but politicians? All of this makes a whole lot of sense when you realize the FBI code walnuts means a young child of color. This email is very telling. The realtor found a handkerchief map that is pizza-related. Why would anyone feel the need to write someone about a pizza-related map handkerchief? The FBI has also reported of a handkerchief code, with each color of handkerchief apparently having a specific meaning, such as oral or anal sex. Even if you knew nothing of FBI codes, you don't need to be Inspector Gadget or Sherlock Holmes to clearly see that these people are speaking in code with one another. Should I play dominoes on pizza rather than pasta? This email is just downright strange. Why would anyone play dominoes on pizza or pasta, and why would they sound almost excited to do it? If we are to take seriously the code words and their meaning, then this email becomes unsettling and sick. This is John writing his brother Tony saying that he would love to get pizza for an hour. This email includes an image of a party, what apparently looks like Tony Podesta's house, someone we'll get to in just a bit, and someone emails a couple of pics saying they are capturing the spirit of the evening, and at the party they have a cutout of the Pope. Nothing too damning here other than the query of why would they have a picture of the Pope at the house. Email 1037 has an image that was shared by many different people, and the sender here says, "It doesn't get any better than this," and attached is a file simply called pizza. The attachment shows two Asian women biting into the crust of a slice of pizza with a little girl. So what, one might say? An attachment called pizza of people eating pizza? Where's the conspiracy? The only problem with this is that the people that have been confidently identified in this picture are Una Lee and Laura Ling, two reporters who were supposedly kidnapped after they were reporting on, you guessed it, child trafficking. This last one is just downright gross and, in my opinion, leaves little room for interpretation. Tamara Lozado is sharing her excitement about the reprise of our gang's visit to the farm in Lovettsville. We plan to heat the pool so a swim is a possibility. Bonnie will be transporting Ruby, Emerson, and Mauve, 11, 9, and 7, so you'll have some further entertainment, and they will be in that pool for sure. What kind of entertainment involves three young children and a grown man in a swimming pool? So yeah, you get the point. Even the most elementary mind can clearly see that there is something else being discussed here besides hot dogs and pizza and walnuts, and I have yet to find a single researcher to provide an honest and common sense explanation for these private exchanges. One quick thing before we move on. This painting was found in an image of the campaign office of Chairman John Podesta, and it shows two individuals holding dinner plates about to carve into and what looks like dine on a human being. In other words, this is a painting of cannibalism. Not sure what the artist is representing here, but this is very, very odd. John's love for pizza seems to be a family affair. This is John's brother, Tony. Tony Podesta and his wife, Heather, were named by GQ to be the 23rd most powerful people in Washington. Tony's website, The Podesta Group, describes him as the following. Many people in Washington can tell you what just happened to you. Tony Podesta helps you change outcomes. Tony is recognized by his peers, the news media, and decision makers across the federal government as the man with the judgment and smart strategic sense to get things done. John, Tony, and James Elefantis are all close friends and are clearly people who share a lot of similar interests, to say the least. The Podesta brothers have been linked to the disappearance of a young girl named Madeline McCann after many people online noticed the artist's sketches of Madeline's supposed kidnappers are a dead ringer to the Podestas. Here are the police sketches overlaid with the pictures of the Podesta brothers. According to emails released by WikiLeaks, John's secretary was handling his emails the days Madeline went missing, and further, the Podesta brothers have been confirmed to have been staying in Portugal the day of her disappearance at the house of former Member of Parliament Sir Clement Freud, who is a convicted pedophile and who happened to live a third of a mile down the street from where Madeline McCann was abducted. An expose of Tony Podesta's house, lifestyle, and art collection were highlighted in Washington Life magazine. Within the article, we find pictures of his house, very clearly displaying art centrally themed around children. In one corner of the house, we find two large paintings displaying children laying on the ground. On the couch, we see in another room stuffed animals on display. The article begins by saying, "If you've ever dreamed of strolling through a museum with a slice of pizza and a glass of wine in hand, you need to befriend super lobbyist Tony Podesta. Known about town as a legendary political fix-it man, Tony has turned his home into a shrine for contemporary art, including some of his favorite artists." The article goes on to say that Tony had recently come from a Hillary Clinton campaign fundraiser and that he has worked for the likes of Walmart, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Wells Fargo, and Lockheed Martin. So no small potatoes there. Finally, the article concludes and says that he regularly opens his house to casual pizza parties co-hosted by his friend James Elefantis, owner of Comet Ping Pong. We are going to take a quick look at three of the artists mentioned in the article. Louis Bourgeois, Biljana Dergevic, and Marina Abramovic. Tony's first major art purchase, and one according to the article, the piece that is never taken down, is the 2,000-pound bronze statue by Louis Bourgeois called the Arch of Hysteria. According to the National Gallery of Canada, the Arch of Hysteria was created from Bourgeois' interest in the physical, emotional, and psychological aspects of pain and fear. The piece was inspired by neurologist Jean-Martin Charcot, a physician who sought to represent hysteria by documenting the performances of his female patients. The physical tension of the hysterical arch, an intense muscular contraction resulting in immobility and paralysis of the limbs, is emblematic of an extreme emotional state. Regardless of the artist, it seems like a very morbid thing to have as your prized possession hanging in your living room. It's also been noted that the Arch of Hysteria seems to mimic the same position that the serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer would leave his decapitated victims in. The second artist we're going to look at is Biljana Dergevic. I'm just going to present a few of her pieces here without any commentary. The last artist we wish to look at is Marina Abramovic. Marina gained fame during the run-up to the 2016 presidential election when it was revealed through the WikiLeaks emails that John Podesta, through his brother Tony, was invited to one of Marina's spirit cookings. Spear cooking is a performance art where blood, semen, urine, and other bodily fluids are used to paint in a live painting performance. Marina is a well-known artist collaborating with the likes of Jay-Z and is close and personal with Lady Gaga. Apparently, in many Hollywood circles, Marina is a big hit. Now, this is all pretty alarming to say the least, but is there anything to really get up in arms about? I mean, let's be reasonable. This is just art. Art is defined as the expression of human creative skill and imagination producing works to be appreciated primarily for their beauty or emotional power. By your and my opinion, all of this may be creepy and repulsive, but nonetheless, it is just art. Well, Marina Abramović was asked about the role of the occult in her art on a Reddit Q&A, and she replied this. If you are doing occult magic in the context of an art or in a gallery, then it is art. If you are doing it in a different context, in spiritual circles or private house or on TV shows, then it is not art. The intention, the context, and what it is made defines what art is or not. As found in the WikiLeaks emails, even Hillary Clinton herself is invited to and apparently might occasionally attend these sort of spirit cookings. The fact that a presidential candidate and her campaign chairman are being invited by close personal friends to a cooking of these sorts is something I would assume that the voting public would probably like to know. It might be pertinent to point out here that Hillary and Bill Clinton have a laundry list of cohorts and associates that have been busted for child trafficking or pedophilia. I'm just going to briefly mention a few here. First, we have Laura Silsby, former director of the New Life Children's Refuge, was caught trying to steal 33 children. It was discovered that Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton's confidant and top aide, had been forwarding emails directly to Hillary about Laura Silsby's organization. And there is evidence that Hillary worked directly with getting Silsby off the hook. Next up is Jeffrey Epstein, another very interesting character in this whole thing. In 2008, Epstein was convicted of soliciting sex from an underage girl and quietly paid settlements to scores of alleged victims who claimed that he had serially molested them, as well as countless other victims. Several women have come out since then claiming that Epstein and his powerful network of friends have continually trafficked children for sex on his private island in St. Thomas. Jeffrey Epstein's now famous Little Black Book, recovered by Epstein's house manager, reads like a who's who of political and social elite. Former President Bill Clinton, President-elect Donald Trump, and Prince Andrew all hitched rides on Epstein's private planes and visited his private island. And then we have Christopher Cloman, convicted pedophile, who, according to the Washington Post, molested girls less than 10 times from 1966 to 1985. Cloman was a close personal friend of Ken Starr, who is a former Clinton prosecutor. And then there is Anthony Weiner, former member of the United States House of Representatives, involved in three sexual scandals related to sexting or sending explicit material by his phone. Weiner's now ex-wife, Huma Abedin, is once again a close confidant and Hillary Clinton's once top aide. And then, of course, there's Denny Hastert, the 51st Speaker of the House of Representatives and the longest Republican to hold the post, also a convicted pedophile, busted in the 70s for child molestation. Denny is apparently still a friend of the Podestas today and is even mentioned in the WikiLeaks emails discussing sending Denny to an undisclosed location. Another very interesting connection to the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation is Monica Peterson. Monica Peterson was the assistant director at the Human Trafficking Center, who worked in Haiti, and it has been claimed that she had been highly critical of the Clinton Foundation and their possible role in child trafficking. Monica Peterson was found dead of an apparent suicide. According to the Washington Post, the Clintons played a major role in recovery efforts in Haiti after the devastating earthquake in 2010. Former President Bill Clinton was the public face of the U.S. efforts in Haiti through several recovery roles. He was the United Nations Special Envoy to Haiti, co-leader of the Clinton-Bush Haiti Fund with former President George W. Bush, and co-chairman of the Interim Haiti Recovery Commission. The Clinton Foundation raised more than $30 million for Haiti relief projects. There's a lot of criticism lodged against the Clintons for their involvement with the recovery efforts in Haiti, many by the Haitian people themselves, claiming that they never received the donations or promises made to them. There are serious questions as to how much Monica Peterson knew about the Clintons and their relationship with Haiti. One major angle to all this is found once again by focusing on information secured by those at the Federal Bureau of Investigation. People within the pedophile community apparently have logos and symbols they use to identify each other. A few from the FBI are posted here. So as you can see, spiral triangle means boy lover, the heart within a heart means little girl lover, etc. Comet Ping Pong on their menu had a logo similar to the child lover logo. The words play, eat, drink are displayed inside the paddles, and this just so happens to be an acronym for PED, or pedophile for short. And what can only be more than coincidental, these logos are used in businesses surrounding Comet Ping Pong. Besta Pizza clearly was using a pedophile symbol in their logo till it was recently changed after the scandal broke. Besta is Portuguese for beast, or in other words, their shop is called Beast Pizza. Besta Pizza is owned by a man named Andrew Klein, who just happens to be the director for the Human Trafficking Prosecution Unit of the Department of Justice. Just down the way is Politics and Prose, which is co-owned by Lisa Muscatine, who has been a Hillary Clinton supporter and speechwriter for over 20 years. We also have Beyond Borders, a foundation who works to end child slavery and prevent violence against women and girls in Haiti. And two stores away from Beyond Borders is Terrasol Bistro, an artisan gallery, which has displayed yet another FBI pedophile logo. To put it bluntly, it has been strongly implied by many who have invested time and commitment into this investigation that the corroborating circumstantial evidence leads to the very real possibility that the owners of these buildings, all of whom are connected directly to extremely high-level people within our government, might all be involved in child trafficking in one way or another. It also has been speculated, mainly through pictures from James Elefantis' Instagram account, that there may be tunnels connecting the buildings underground, and this is why we see him doing work in what appears to be at Comet Ping Pong. Though the location of this building isn't tagged in this picture, we can clearly see a ping pong table in the background, which leads us to believe that this image is probably taken at Comet Ping Pong. If James had substantial work done at Comet Ping Pong, to the best of my knowledge, he never obtained a permit from the city to do any of the renovations. It is no secret that there is a network of underground tunnels beneath the architecture of Washington, D.C. Though many of the tunnels are said to be out of use, some of them have been reappropriated, including one turned art gallery called the DuPont Underground, and art display open to the public. Once again, this tunnel network is only mentioned here as something to take into consideration. One reason this is mentioned is that James recently said in an interview that there is no basement at Comet Ping Pong, and yet in an article a few years prior, he says this: "We harvest a whole crop of organic tomatoes, 10 tons of tomatoes every year, can them all, store them in the basement, have like a harvest party when it gets loaded in." Seems like a very strange thing to lie about. I can't think of any reason to lie about having or not having a basement unless there is something hidden in that basement. Getting back to James Elefantis' Instagram account. Mr. Barack Obama seen here, captured by Mr. Elefantis himself, seems to enjoy a game of ping pong now and again. The First Lady, Michelle Obama, plays as well, even taking what was deemed by the White House as a personal trip to China to have a hand at the paddle. Of course, this could be because of the long tradition of ping pong diplomacy, which is, according to Wikipedia, the exchange of table tennis or ping pong players between the United States and the People's Republic of China, starting in the early 1970s. So all of this love for ping pong could simply be referring to diplomacy with other countries, or it could mean something else entirely. Joe Biden has the most disturbing thing on his own Instagram, giving the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, a children's friendship bracelet. One with a pizza on it. On James's Instagram account, he mentions a place that he likes to go when in Germany called Dr. Pong's, located in Berlin, owned by a man by the name of Oliver Miller. On Dr. Pong's website, we see a seedy sort of underground dive bar-looking ping pong place, obviously not geared towards children, whose website is extremely sketchy and weird, to say the least. You can check it out yourself. The menu on the site is the weirdest thing of all, and in one of the lines it says, "Sticky as a long, slow summertime fuck." Sounds delicious. Comet Ping Pong and Dr. Pong's website are hosted by the same admin. Apparently the kind of ping pong James likes to play is enjoyed in London, Berlin, as well as in Washington, D.C. Now, this isn't the first time that Comet Ping Pong has been accused of deviant, immoral, and illegal activities. In 2007, Frank Winstead, a member of the Washington, D.C. community, tried warning the neighborhood about what was allegedly going on at Comet Pizza, including lying, cheating, stealing, spitting in customers' food, encouraging murderers and rapists, and all-around debauchery. Apparently, Frank was essentially written off as a grouchy old party pooper who had some unsubstantiated grievances towards a local business, and that was that. And maybe old Frank wasn't crazy after all. Comet Ping Pong is supposed to be, at least on the outset, a pizzeria aimed towards children, and it is open from 5 p.m. to 9:30 p.m., and then closed with parties often thrown in the back. This means that, essentially, Comet Pizzeria makes all of their money in roughly 4.5 hours a night. This is the bathroom located in Comet Ping Pong, and it shows a man here jerking himself off at a ping pong table. I ask you, does this look suitable for children? Apparently, since the scandal broke, most of the controversial art within Comet Pizza has been removed. Comet Pizza has a close connection and trust with their patrons. Here's a clip of the manager explaining Comet's relationship with its customers.
The secret is... it's an empowerment. An empowerment, by definition, is trust. So, like, I trust that the relationship that I have with the customers is one where they understand that I'm looking out for them, and in response, they look out for us.
The posters for the bands that play at Comet Ping Pong are very edgy and rather lewd and perverse, to say the least. Here are just a few posters of some of the acts that have played at Comet. As it turns out, even some of the bands that play at the pizzeria flash pedophile symbols or logos in their videos, including this one here by a band called Sex Stains. Now remember, this is a children's pizzeria. I can't imagine heading to Chuck E. Cheese's, where a kid can be a kid, and seeing a band called Sex Stains. The promoter for the bands at Comet Ping Pong is Sasha Lord. Sasha Lord previously worked as an outdoor facilitator at Hemlock Overlook, specializing in at-risk populations, volunteered with the Girl Scouts of Saniam Council, helping to facilitate Girl Scouts Beyond Bars, and she also worked for the Girl Scouts of the nation's capital, running an outreach Girl Scout troop at the Prince William County Juvenile Detention Center. So basically, Sasha Lord has worked with children a good portion of her adult life, and now she is recruited to be a scouting slash talent agent for the back room of a seedy, very politically connected children's pizzeria? Seems reasonable. This video is of an artist named Majestic Ape, who also goes by Amanda Kleiman, apparently, and has performed at Comet with her band Heavy Breathing. The video is of Sasha Lord's birthday party, and you can clearly hear Majestic Ape speaking casually about special pizza and discussing with the crowd the favors that Sasha provides. You can also hear in the crowd people laughing and casually speaking about pedophilia.
It is the day of the birth of our Lord, Sasha Lord. If you are like me, you love Sasha. Or if you don't, you want perks from her. Things like free pizza. Have any of you enjoyed this special pizza here tonight called the Hottie? Cherry is known to hang out down here. He likes the world sounds. Tamales.
And little boys.
And children.
No.
We all have preferences.
Further, Majestic Ape has mentioned pedophilia in her videos casually. To say that all of Majestic Ape's so-called art is strange and perverse would be an understatement. Majestic Ape has also worked with an artist named James Huckenpaller. Amanda Kleiman, or Majestic Ape, narrates one of James's musical compositions I found on his SoundCloud. James Huckenpaller has worked with Transformer, the artist-centered nonprofit organization that James Elefantis is the board president of, one of the many titles James Elefantis apparently holds. James Huckenpaller wrote a 314-page document called Meta Monument, a PDF available on his website superluckyland.com, that describes 10 functional fictions that describe potential uses for the abandoned trolley tunnels beneath DuPont Circle, formerly Pacific Circle. These dreams borrow liberally from cultural spaces in Berlin in an effort to address some of the fundamental challenges posed by the location. And on the last page of this work, it says this: thanks to Oliver Miller, aka Dr. Pong, for hospitality in Berlin, and James Elefantis for patronage above and beyond. It just kind of makes you wonder what kind of hospitality and patronage these guys are offering. The scary thing about all of this is that when you start to dig through the endless material on this subject, following a lot of the leads, going down rabbit hole after rabbit hole, a picture becomes very clear. One showing that hiding beneath the world of high art and politics, there is a very devious circle of people engaged in this sort of illegal, wicked, and highly immoral behavior. When this story broke, countless researchers, myself included, scoured numerous accounts on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and uncovered literally hundreds of people engaging one another using these code words, saying things cryptically and posting images related to such behavior. This is not a joke. Literally hundreds to thousands of people discussing this stuff openly. A Twitter account named @eclipse_ow was banned temporarily for releasing a massive Google Doc of 23,000 accounts, including over 500 with their exact geographical locations, of people involved in an enormous child pedophile ring. It has recently come to light that this pedophilia is on YouTube as well, with literally, once again, thousands of accounts discussing this stuff openly, sharing videos of young girls spreading their legs, posing in very sexual or precarious positions, and the like. The comment sections of these videos are littered with perverse and sexually explicit comments about young children, and nothing is being done about it. I can't even show some of the videos here due to the fact that YouTube will probably take this video down, yet leave those accounts up. If you don't believe me, spend an hour or two and search for webcam video and peruse some of these seemingly randomly uploaded videos. From my own best approximations, there seems to be literally an entire subculture created around pedophilia and child trafficking. Conservative reporter Andrew Breitbart, founder of Breitbart.com, spoke of John Podesta and his supposed sex crimes in a tweet from 2011, where he said this: "How progressive guru John Podesta isn't a household name as a world-class underage sex slave op cover-upper defending unspeakable dregs escapes me." Andrew Breitbart dropped dead of a heart seizure in early 2012. Make no mistake about it, rampant pedophilia and child sex slave trafficking at the highest levels of society and government is something that people have been claiming and discussing for years. The Hollywood aspect of this whole scandal is pretty intense too, and it is a rabbit hole I will only briefly touch on here. The amount of celebrities, especially childhood actors and entertainers, that seem to be tied up in all of this is pretty damn alarming. Hollywood actor Elijah Wood, a household name, has come out and discussed openly that there is a pedophile ring happening within the underbelly of Hollywood and has been operating for years. Katy Perry has been known to have a fascination for pizza, even donning a pizza onesie, and Miley Cyrus has long been known to have some obscene obsession with pizza, as her entire Instagram account seems dedicated to this Italian food. It has been alleged for a long time that famed childhood actor Macaulay Culkin has been the victim of this Hollywood occultist drug-addled pedophilia network, especially with his ties to the likes of Michael Jackson. Culkin now fronts an alt-rock art-pop band called the Pizza Underground, where the band plays covers of Velvet Underground songs, except changes the songs into pizza-related themes. Their debut music video, shown here, is quite disturbing. When you start to include the fact that Jay-Z is linked to Marina Abramovich, and his lady, Beyoncé, was spotted wearing a ring of Baphomet, literally a ring of the devil, on a live TV performance, you gotta start asking some serious questions as to what kind of lifestyle do these people embrace in private. Lady Gaga, Madonna, and Katy Perry have all performed essentially occult rituals on stage at various music award shows. With eyes wide open, the connections you can start to make are obvious, blatant, and at other times deeply unresting. I can only briefly mention here the government mind control program of MKUltra, the predecessor to the supposed Project Monarch program. Yes, the government, by their own admission, was literally experimenting on people with and without their knowledge for years, at least since 1950. This subject is a documentary in and of itself, but let's just say MKUltra and the government mind control programs undoubtedly play an enormous role in understanding this network of control. Though MKUltra on record was supposedly shut down, there is no getting around the fact that this stuff happened. I think it would be extremely naive to believe that the government, under some guise or veil, isn't continuing these types of programs today. Many of the so-called Hollywood stars and famous figures could very well be mind-controlled slaves, controlled by forces at work within the United States government. If you think this kind of thing is a ridiculous notion, I understand your doubts, but no matter what your opinions are, this stuff is real and it did happen. The fact is, accusations of a massive pedophile ring have happened many times before. The Australian government had a massive pedophile scandal, and there was an exposé done on it on 60 Minutes, which, to the best of my knowledge, never aired in the United States. Numerous researchers have discussed England's own supposed scandals, with the claims that many within the celebrity culture, including cultural icon and BBC legend Jimmy Savile, are involved in sex, slave, murder, and child trafficking, amongst other things. We have the Franklin cover-up in the States, which is another very interesting case, in which it was claimed that the entire Institute of Government and the media itself colluded on covering up a pedophile ring, going so far as to call the FBI the orchestrator and architect of the child trafficking ring. Former President Senator John DeCamp was involved in the production of a documentary called A Conspiracy of Silence, which you can watch on YouTube. It was set to air on May 3, 1994 on the Discovery Channel, exposing a network of religious leaders and Washington politicians who flew children to Washington, D.C. for sex orgies. But right before the show was to air, an unknown congressman threatened the TV cable industry with restrictive legislation if the documentary was aired, and thus it never saw the light of day. And last but not least, we have the Hampstead cover-up. The Hampstead case was the most gruesome indictment of this sort of thing I have ever witnessed, with direct accounts from children who were victims of satanic ritual abuse. These children claimed kidnapping, torture, blood rituals, sex, murder, and even cannibalism. The Hampstead cover-up and the implications of it are prime examples of how many different times a child trafficking pedophile ring, a satanically based sex slave ring, has been brought to light by the children affected directly by such madness. I want to include the following audio from the Hampstead case of one of the children who gave a testimony and police confession discussing these actions in her own words. I encourage you to go online and listen to the testimony from these children and the retractions that these children gave, and decide for yourself if you think that these children were lying. Out of respect, I have not included the child's name or face to the alleged victim. I just want to say this once again to reiterate. These children retracted their testimonies, and the claimed perpetrators were never charged with anything.
Who's they? Who's they?
The teachers, the parents, the staff.
Every single teacher or specific teachers?
No, every single. The whole school does it. The whole school, and we got our own church,
yeah,
too. Because after, we, as I said, we kill babies, we drink their blood, we eat them.
Okay.
But then after so the social services who are in it,
yeah,
they go to families. So the families can't afford. So they get a baby, but they can't look after it or anything. They can't buy food. They can't buy clothes, they can't look after it. So they sell, the families who sell their children,
yeah,
so the social services get them. They say they get them to a foster home, but they don't.
Right, okay.
So then because our dad, he forces me and to do it. But because we can't, we're not strong enough to cut the baby's head off, he tells us to hold the knife and he puts his hand at the top of our hand. And he helps us to cut the baby's head off. Because he's learning, he's teaching me. And so when we're older, to do it to our own children and do this kind of stuff to our own children.
Where is it this that happens?
The church, the kitchen in our church.
What you have just watched is just a smattering of some of the investigative work that has been made in this massive online citizen investigation. And I ask you, the viewer, to ask yourself, is this fake news? Is there enough evidence, even if circumstantial and indirect, to warrant a serious investigation into these matters? In my opinion, if I was an FBI investigator working cases in the child trafficking unit, and somebody came up to my desk and plopped in front of me everything you just watched, with the sources, the encrypted emails, the images, the links, the connections, the names, everything, as it has been collected online, if I was that FBI agent who maybe had a wife and kids, who loved his job, who worked up through the ranks and earned his position because he really wanted to fight people who harm children, if I was that father, I would have peed my damn pants at having been handed such a gold mine of investigative work. Is there, in this case, direct proof of guilt? No, not necessarily. But investigations don't start with proof. They start with leads, leaks, information, tips, connections, and there is no shortage of those things on this subject. But alas, there is no investigation being made. No arrests, no search warrants, no questioning, no nothing. Nope. To the best of my knowledge, the whole thing is being ignored by the FBI and the Department of Justice, swept under the rug and deemed a hoax or fake news by the news media. If an earnest and sincere investigation isn't going to be made into this, then it becomes quite clear that the justice system and the FBI no longer function in any honest capacity whatsoever. And what are we going to do about this? By sharing this, by talking openly about it, by letting people know what this is all about, you are, in my humble opinion, doing God's work. And if you were ignoring this, well, every year in the United States alone, something like 800,000 children go missing. 800,000 children. If that number was 5,000, that would be 5,000 too many. This madness needs to stop, and apparently the hands of the government are going to do nothing about it because apparently the hands of the government are deeply involved in this. Spread your goodness to the world, be kind to one another, and root out all of this incessant evil. Much love to all.